be reading. Our scripture this morning is going to come from Exodus chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 1 through 18. And it says this: "The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days.' So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, 'In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?' Moses also said, 'You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord.' Then Moses told Aaron, 'Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.' While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, 'I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.' That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one of you is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent.' The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed." It's interesting. Mike had like the pre-sermon, and now I'm going to give you the full sermon, I guess. But, you know, he was talking about, you know, on social media, how people put things on there. Well, here are some real posts by real people that were put on social media. All right, here's one. "I dislike the fact that my family's second home involves a six-hour airplane ride to a different continent. A simple cottage getaway would be nice." Okay. Here's another one. "I just got back from this boring trip my dad made me take for spring break. I was like, 'Dad, I've been to the Bahamas like a bajillion times. Can I go to Mexico this year?' He said no and made me go on a cruise. Totally rude." And someone else put this: "I sure do wish they had almond milk at the buffet at the Hilton." Okay. Now we can laugh at these because they seem so out of touch with how most of us live. You know, I mean, think about it, man. You know, a second home on a different continent. You know, it's kind of strange that they would think that was bad. But a lot of us would say, "Wow, that's kind of nice." Now, some of us may think the same thing. That's not a great thing. But many of us have whined about things like that too. Things like the Wi-Fi is too slow, not being able to skip the ads on live TV, losing the TV remote. You know, we complain about that. And then, of course, I wonder how many of us here have ever spent more than 30 minutes looking for the remote. Anybody? I've spent days looking for it sometimes and just can't change the channel without a remote, you know. So, or how about complaining because there's nothing to eat? When we go to the refrigerator and it's full, when we go to the cupboards, it's full, but we still can't find anything to eat. There's nothing to eat here. You know, having to change your password. The bank makes me change my password every, 3 months or something like that? I don't know how often it is. It seems like it's every other day. But, we complain about that. Or we complain because we pour our cereal into the bowl and then we realize we were out of milk. You ever complain about that? These are what we call first world problems. All right? You know, other people in other parts of the world would think, "Man, you got cereal? You know, you got Wi-Fi, you got this, you got that. Weird Al Yankovic, I don't know how many of you know who he is. He writes a lot of these kind of parody songs. And he wrote a song called First World Problems. And the first verse goes like this. It says, "My maid is cleaning the bathroom, so I can't take a shower. When I do, the water starts getting cold after an hour. I couldn't order off the breakfast menu because I slept in till 2. Then I filled up on bread, didn't leave any room for tiramisu. Oh, so no, there's a pixel out in the corner of my laptop screen. I don't have any bills in my wallet small enough for the vending machine. Some idiot just called me on the phone. What? Don't they know how to text? OMG. So, you know, we complain. Mike was right. We complain about a lot of things, and we don't think about it. And in today's passage, we read about the Israelites who were doing some complaining. They were complaining about being out in the desert and not having food to eat. Now, we can understand that, all right? But the word translated complain that's used here in the Hebrew is the word meaning to lodge, all right? Or to abide. One place it said is pass overnight, just basically stay overnight. And so getting the idea that, you know, this isn't something they just were kind of saying once and then letting go. This is someplace they camped at, all right? They were camping on this. We're hungry. We need food. We need this. We need that. And so they were really doing that. We might get the idea, you know, when we talk about lodging a complaint, it's kind of the same type thing there. But the point is that this wasn't just a passing whine, but they were camped on this. They weren't going to let it go. And to be honest, I understand this. I mean, if you're out there in the desert, you know, it'd be nice to have some food, wouldn't it? You know, they were hungry. We've been there. But the problem isn't that they were hungry and that they wanted something to eat. The problem was that they were looking back at Egypt. Okay. With some nostalgia, by the way. They were looking at it with some nostalgia. In other words, you know, the tendency to look back at something, remembering the good and forgetting the bad about it. We do that sometimes, don't we? We'll look back and say, oh man, those were the good old days. We forget about the bad things happening in those days. But that's exactly what they were doing. They're saying, no, it'd been better if we stayed in Egypt. We had food there. We sat around pots of meat and had all the food that we could eat. And they don't remember what we read earlier in Exodus 2:23 says, the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. Okay? So just a little over 2 months before this, they were in Egypt as slaves. And they were crying out to God. But now they've forgotten that part of it. And they think, man, that was alive back there in Egypt. It wasn't. God was bringing them to life. And He was going to take care of them. And we see here that God hears their complaint, and He provides them with two things. First night, He provides them with quail. It says it covered the ground. And they just went out and all the quail they could eat. And then the next morning, they come out and they see the stuff on the grass. The dew had come, and there's the stuff laying out there. And it says, you know, it looked like flakes. And later on in the chapter, it says that it was like coriander seed, white, and tasted like wafers made with honey. So what it says in Numbers 11:7-8, we read about it again. It says, and there it says, the manna was like coriander seed and looked like rosin. The people went around gathering it and then ground it in a handmill or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot and made it into loaves, and it tasted like something made with olive oil. So there was a lot of ways they could use this, evidently. And I don't know. I mean, we don't know what it is today. You know, they didn't even know what it was. They said, what is it? And that's what manna means. What is it? You know, they didn't know. And there's some who've been, I heard this week that there's a little aphid evidently in that area that secretes some kind of a substance, I don't know, and it's kind of sweet and such. And some people think that maybe this is what God used. I don't think so. All right. I don't think so, because the reason I don't is because they were to keep a jar in the covenant, Ark of the Covenant, so that they would remember it years later. And if it was something that was natural, I don't think that would have been it. I mean, it's possible God used these little aphids, but to feed, you know, a million people, that's a lot of aphids, all right? So, but whatever it is, it's miraculous that God was doing. He provided for them. We also read later in Exodus 16 that God supplied it for the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. Every morning that they woke up, except the Sabbath day, every morning they woke up, it was there. The food was there. And they went out and they gathered it. And I thought it was interesting he said that no matter how much or how little they gathered, it was always enough or it was, you know, just right. And so God was providing for them. But then Numbers 11, and this is probably about a year later, in Numbers 11 it tells us they were once again grumbling. Okay? You know why they were grumbling? Because they were tired of manna. You know, they had manna burgers, they had manna stew, they had manna this, manna bread, manna, everything was manna. They were getting tired of it. Kind of reminds me of, you remember Bubba Shrimp or whatever it was? They were going to have shrimp, and the guy who talked about shrimp, this kind of reminds me of that. But they were tired of it, and they were grumbling about it. And we get it. You know, we get that way. I mean, we don't want to eat the same thing over and over again. Karen will sometimes make lasagna, or she'll make chili or something like that. Once, maybe twice, and she's done with it. All right? Me, now, I can eat it all week. All right? I don't have a problem with that. But she's a little bit more... Couple times she's done with it, okay? These people were done with it after a year, and I understand that, all right? But they were grumbling again. And again, they bring up how better off they were in Egypt. And in Numbers 11, it says that God heard them again. This time he wasn't quite so understanding. All right? Matter of fact, he says, I'm going to send you some quail tonight, because quail wasn't something he sent every day. But he said, I'm going to send you some quail, and I'm not going to send it just for a day or 2 days. I'm going to send it for a solid month. You're going to have so much quail that it's going to be coming out your nostrils, he says. You know, in other words, they're going to be sick and tired of it. And lo and behold, the next day, the quail come about 3 feet high off the ground, just covering everywhere. They're just everywhere. You know, you just knock them down. And they enjoyed it. But God then sent a plague. He struck them with the plague and many died. It says they buried the people who had craved other food. And I think there's a lesson to be learned there. Okay? That sometimes we need to look at what God gives us and be satisfied. When we start looking for other things, there may be a problem. And so what do we learn from this? Now, the reason God sent the plague wasn't because they'd asked for meat. All right? I really think, again, it's because they were looking back and saying we were better off back there. Not looking at the blessings that God had given them. Not seeing that they had been released from their slavery and now had freedom. And he was taking them to a new place. And they just didn't trust God. And we see that as because later on when they get to the promised land, they don't go in because they're afraid. They don't trust God. So what do we learn from this? I think, you know, we talked about grumbling and stuff, and so grumbling and complaining is a selfish thing to think of and realize, first of all. Most grumbling is because I don't like something or I'm not satisfied. It's all about me. The reason we complain, the reason we grumble is not usually about for somebody else, it's usually for us because I don't like it. You know, I don't think it should be done that way. I think it should be done this way. I'm not satisfied. You didn't do enough for me. And so on we go. In James chapter 4, verses 1 and 3, it says this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God, and when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You know, this past couple weeks here, the lottery's been up to, I think the Powerball was up to close to $1 billion? Yeah. And now I think the other one, yeah, I see the reports and stuff, and they talk about it a lot. It's almost $1 billion, and people are wanting to go out and flock to buy the lottery tickets. You think it's because they're really wanting to give it away to people, to help people? No. Most people are thinking about what they can do if they win it, what they can do with that money, how they can spend it, what they're going to do with it. And it's interesting, lottery winners a lot of times end up broke. They just go through it, and it's strange how that happens, because they just can't handle all the money, and it brings up more problems for them. You know, all these things that we shared at the beginning were because of an inconvenience. You know, the one young man, he didn't want to have to travel 6 hours, you know, to get to another continent to be in his family's second home, you know. The other person, why no almond milk? You know, it's an inconvenience to me. It was not to their liking. And, you know, I get to think about this. And do you ever watch those cooking shows where they judge things? You know, and they people cook this meal, and then they bring it, and the judges taste it, and then they taste the next one. And the judges sit there, and then they judge it. And do you ever realize that what they're judging really is? It's complaining. I never thought about it before, but it's complaining. Because they don't like, oh, there wasn't enough salt on it. It wasn't crispy enough. It wasn't this. It wasn't that. And so it's really just complaining, okay? And you know that because sometimes there are certain things that one judge says, oh, I hated that. That was just bad. And the next judge says, oh, no, I really liked that. That was really good. So it had nothing to do with really how the dish was, but how that person perceived the dish. And so they're basically putting out what they think. And so before we complain, we should look at if it is really something that's important. Because I think there are sometimes things that we can complain about or talk about that's important things. But a lot of times it's just, it isn't to our liking. And so if that's the truth, if it's just something that we don't like, something we think maybe should be done a little differently, then maybe we should just leave it unsaid. And that's a hard one for us. I mean, I'm that way. You're that way. We're all that way. That's kind of human nature for some reason. But maybe we need to learn to just not always talk. And then grumbling or complaining is often a lack of gratitude. Most of those first world problems that we read showed a real lack of thankfulness for what they had. Second family home, cruise to the Bahamas, restaurant near your work, having a Wi-Fi, a TV, all are things that we should be grateful for. Those are things that we should be grateful for. And yet it's very easy when we have so much other stuff that we just aren't grateful. And like the Israelites, we often focus on what we don't have. Instead of looking at all the things that we have, we focus on what we don't have. And I remember, we told you this many times, on the first trip to Honduras, first time I'd ever been to a third world country, and to see the poverty, to see people, how they lived in just, you know, homes made with cardboard or tin, corrugated tin or something like that, no running water, dirt floors, no electricity, and they're living like that, not even water, safe water to drink. And we get upset when little things are out here. I think we sometimes need to realize just how well off we are and be more grateful for the things that we do have. The Israelites showed their ungratefulness by not only complaining, but camping on the thought, lodging on the thought, dwelling on the thought that they were better off in Egypt, in slavery. What an affront to God. What a thing to say to God, you know, we were better off back there before you brought us out. You know, the God who had given them freedom and was leading them to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And yet they complained. They weren't grateful for what God had done for them. And then grumbling shows that we haven't learned to be content. And Mike brought this up too. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, Paul says this, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. You know, we need to see how good we have things and realize how worse it could be. But It seems like we always want to compare ourselves to those who have it better. You know,
well, so-and-so, they got this, or so-and-so, they get a, you know, take a vacation to Florida every year, or so-and-so gets to do this, or so-and-so gets to do that.
And we always look at something that somebody has better than us, and we complain. We don't look at the people who don't have enough to eat. The children that are sometimes struggling just to have enough to eat that day, do no fault of their own. But we look at some of these people who were, and we look at some of these people who were complaining about a privileged life, and we make fun of them because we'd love to be in their shoes. You know, we think, oh man, I'd like to be there. But here's the thing, there are people who may look at us and envy us in the same exact way. And when we complain and talk about the things that we don't have or the things that we don't like, they may think it's just as funny as what we saw there. We need to learn to be content with what we have. And Paul is interesting. He says, whether I had a lot or whether I had a little, whether I had food to eat or if I was hungry, I've learned the secret to being content. And notice what the last verse was. He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We take that verse so out of context, I think, sometimes. He really means that we can do what God desires of us. That no matter what comes our way, God is going to help us through that. I can do all things. I can get through anything through Christ who gives me strength. And then the last thing I want us to learn from this is that not complaining, not grumbling, is a witness to the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit. In the verse that we had, that Mike read, and in which we had as our verse to love God with today, it says this: do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. See, when we grumble against one another, we are denying the love that God has given us for one another. God has provided for us love for each other. And when we grumble against one another, when we argue with one another, we are denying that. You see, when the church loves one another like Jesus loved us, we become a beacon that shines out to a lost world. You know, everyone wants to be a part of a family that gets along and genuinely cares about each other. And when Christians grumble, when we argue, we are demonstrating selfishness, we're demonstrating pride, we're demonstrating a lack of gratitude for each other. And guess what? No one wants to be a part of that because they get that everywhere else. But thankfully, God sees His children through His Son. He sees us through His Son. Unlike the Israelites, I mean, they were punished big time. And that doesn't mean that we won't sometimes be disciplined. But through Jesus, we're forgiven, we're purified, and we're made righteous. So let us remember that we have died to ourselves. We have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, it says. So we've died to ourselves, so let's leave selfishness behind. We've died to that. Let's remember to be grateful for what we have, and thus be content knowing that God supplies all of our needs. Not our wants, but our needs. Sometimes He gives us some of our wants, but sometimes He doesn't. And there's probably a reason for that. But He does supply all of our needs. And let us also remember that we are to be a witness to the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit in us. That we are to be loving, joyful, filled with peace. That we are to be patient. We're to be kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. That's what the Spirit gives us. That's how He changes us. He makes us those things in a way beyond what we ourselves could be. So let's remember that. And when we do that, we will shine like stars in the darkness of this world. When we learn to quit complaining, to quit arguing, we will shine in this world because the rest of the world's doing that. As Mike said, just go on social media, you'll see it. Just say something that you think and you'll find all the people who disagree with you very quickly. So when we show differently, now does that mean that we don't ever disagree with people? No. Especially those who are outside and aren't believing. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should never be fighting, especially in public. Not on social media. We need to be very careful about that. Because this world needs light. There's so much darkness out there. We need to be the light in the world rather than allowing the darkness to overpower us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that today you are with us. We thank you that today, Father, you have provided for us in ways beyond what we even can imagine. I have a feeling, Father, pretty much everyone here has food. We all have clothing. We all have friends. I'd say most of us here, Father, have everything that we need in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, help us to focus on what we have. And there are things, yeah, we don't have. Things that we might desire, things that we might want. But help us to realize those things aren't important. Or that you are going to be supplying them. But help us not to grumble and complain. Help us not to be selfish, Father. Help us not to be ungrateful. Help us not to, well, help us to be content and to really love, Father, like you love us. May we be a light in the darkness, that the world might see you through us. May your light reflect off of us, Father, so that they may see you and want to follow you and love you. And receive all the good things that you desire for them. To receive that full life that only you can give. So help us, Father. And we love you. And we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.